It's got a death curse.
Don't all of you be like me.
And then who locked you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
She's almost getting into, you know, accepting her fate, and then something breaks her spell, like her sister's voice.
They dare to challenge us? Your sister is a foolish one.
Mortals have defiled my sanctuary.
Andrew says it
every time
we
come here.
Right?
I told Big Boss your vampire story. You know what's happening?
What?
He screamed at me for half hour.
It's not enough I am in big trouble, huh? You want me to be fired too?
You must have heard that a thousand times in the last 20 years, this movie.
What's the target here?
We gotta get inside. You think we can make it up this wall?
Give it a shot.
Somebody might know somebody who happens to be CIA.
Because they're that
like,
sloppy.
What? It's the fucking Central Intelligence Agency. You're not supposed to know these people.
There is no love between the living and the dead. What you feel is hunger. Hunger for life.
She doesn't usually get to talk to him so openly and honestly. Mm-hmm. It's usually, you know, pretty much kneel before me and you'll do as I say. So this was a real conversation between the two.
Feast upon him, Michelle.
No.
See the fear pulsing in his veins. Drink.
No, please.
Sever the ties to your mortality and kill these people, and let's get on with this.
Savor the sweetness of his agony.
Please.
No!
Welcome back to the Horror 101 Podcast. This is your host, Cash Wampum, and we are at episode 125. In our 120th episode, we covered Ted Niccolo's Bloodstone, Subspecies Part 2. With work going ahead on Subspecies 5, we decided to focus this show on Bloodlust, Subspecies 3, which was shot back-to-back with Part 2 for Full Moon back in the 90s. The cult sensation Nick McPherson was not with us when we recorded Bloodstone, so since we knew he was not going to be unavailable for this recording, the rest of the crew agreed that now was the time for part 3. If you enjoyed our 120th episode, you should be in for a fun ride, and a small warning here, by the time we scored this film, at the end of the night, I had hit the whiskey a little harder than usual, so clear speech was becoming difficult at best.
So Porky's watching that prey. I asked him if it's hot, woke garbage. He hasn't got back to me yet. Ah, nefarious Paul
Hello.
B.
Hello, hello.
How's it going?
Good, how are you guys?
Oh my
Good.
God, did he ask Newt if you wanted anything?
Yeah.
Oh God, thank God.
And I said, and I spoke on behalf of both of us. I said, no,
oh,
thank
here's
you.
His report. Watching right now, and I give it 9. DW gives it an 8, and almost done. Very well done, and this chick rocks.
What
I
is
love it?
What is it?
Prey.
It's that new Predator one.
Is it a movie or a TV show?
It's a movie.
Is it?
Yeah.
But it's on Hulu or Hutter or Shutter or something. Hello. How are you?
Good. You?
Good.
Brian Stewart.
Who's it?
How it goes?
Yeah, I'll never more of these.
What are they? The wasabi. Oh, yeah. You ping.
Cool.
Hello. That last show, I swear, you put that together very well. That was good, yeah. As always.
And that's the first time you've given us an early listening for it.
Well, yeah, I do it for the cutting room floor.
Yeah, but not for the actual podcast. We used to have listening parties.
That was actually Helen's idea. She's like, so you're going to release it for us? I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? What did I get, like, 3 days before, right? Yeah. Here you go. Okay, let's get to the business at hand. I figured since Nick was not here for...
Fuck you, Nick!
We knew Nick wasn't going to be here.
Fuck you, Nick!
We knew. Thank you.
The obligatory. Fuck you, Nick!
We knew that Nick wasn't going to be here for this particular recording, but we've known this for quite some time.
May I say, fuck you, Nick!
He had plans. Hopefully he's having fun. But since he wasn't here for Subspecies 2, and you guys had a fairly decent time with Subspecies 2, I'm going to suggest doing Subspecies 3 tonight, because Helen doesn't remember seeing it. I haven't seen it in a long time, and I personally had a lot of fun with Subspecies 2 only because I grew up with fucking Ted Nichols' Subspecies. And I've been following Denise Duff on Facebook as she's preparing her role for Part 5 that they're doing now.
Well, fucking Part 4 came out like 97, so that's a long-ass fucking gap.
Well, you've got... she made her first appearance in Part 2, which we already covered.
Yeah.
And I will say right now that Subspecies 3 is to Subspecies 2 as Halloween 2, the original one, is to Halloween 1. It starts right after.
Yeah, well, it has to the way Subspecies 2 ends.
They shot them back to back. So it is. Subspecies 3 is the continuation of Radu and his new fledgling, Michelle.
And his mom.
And mommy, and the sister that's trying to save her, and the American foreign... what is he with the embassy? The American embassy guy that's helping him out, and well, Popescu, you know, he died. That's a shame. He can't make his palenka. But Lieutenant Marin's in it. Like, everybody's in this. Okay, does everybody here remember Subspecies 2 directly?
Yes.
What did you guys score it? Do you remember? I can't remember offhand.
I think I gave it an 8, 7.5 or 8.
7.5 or 8.
Yeah, around there.
Which is pretty good for a full moon picture.
Yep.
But, Nude, you don't remember Part 3.
No.
I'm certain at some point in our relationship, which spans over 20 years, we should have watched that movie. You don't remember it.
I remember what you're talking about, the guy that coming back and taking over. You've done well for yourself. I remember that.
Now, that's Part 4. That's not what we're watching.
I don't remember Part 3.
Wasn't as good as 2 and 3. Wasn't a horrible entry. Kind of like Phantasm Oblivion. Shut your fucking hole. I don't want to hear it. But then now they're playing, they're
fuck
doing
you, Cash.
All these, 20 years later, or even more, they're making Part 5. Now, it could go the way of Ravager Part 5, which is fucking horrible, but they've got the original cast coming back, Honest Hove's coming back as Radu, and it's supposed to be a prequel, which I find exciting, because a lot of the times when they do that, like From Dusk Till Dawn 3, they went back and did a prequel, they hit that out of the park. A lot of times when they go back and show you the prequel, it's a good story. So, and Ted Nicolo's directing it, so I'm hoping that he has the budget and the resources to make a solid entry.
He will not have the budget, and you don't want him to have a budget.
Well, hold on. I want him to make a $1 million movie. I don't want him to make a $50,000 movie.
No, fair enough, but you don't want him to have a budget either.
Well, I want him to have enough money to give us at least something like a From Dusk Till Dawn 3.
They need to go to Romania. They need to have that same feeling, that same sort of set.
Denise
make
Duff,
everything practical, and then you're good.
She's TikToking all of she's TikToking a lot of her experiences. She posted on Facebook there, you know, like you do TikTok and it's in the story, the Facebook stories. She had a story where she's like, okay, I just got off the plane and now I'm going to see the costume designer for the next movie.
So are they in Romania?
I don't know where she's at, but she was going and she was trying on all these different outfits. They were doing a costume rehearsal with her.
Pick a lane.
Fuck you, Cat. You come up to me and give me that lip.
You're like a feather duster in the face.
He walked right across Brian's lap to get to
fuck you, Stuart.
he walks right across Brian's Stuart twice. To come right next to me, looks at me, and goes, meow. And like, fuck you, man.
I'm in the middle here. He just wants to walk across me to stare at you.
Dick, Cat.
To go back to Robin Williams, we were talking about Robin Williams before. Robin Williams always talks about cats. He goes, you ever feeling like cats are really just drag queens? There's your proof. Who loves kitty?
Yeah. Okay, so Subspecies 3, are you guys ready to watch this?
Yep.
Okay, let me just cue this up.
One more time. Fuck you, Nick!
So once again, the name subspecies has nothing to do with the vampires. It's the little, demon things we saw for 3 minutes at the start of the first movie and never saw again.
You're absolutely right, and it is very odd, but that is the title of these films, is Subspecies. Okay. Not Radu the Terrible, not Vampires in Brooklyn, it's Subspecies.
It's kind of like...
That is that an Eddie Murphy
That was
movie?
A terrible Eddie Murphy film, yeah.
From Wes Craven, yeah. Yes, you're absolutely right.
So if Batman 1989 was called Alfred, it would make about as much sense.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I'm ready. Let's do this.
An innocent in a spell of evil. Seduced by a vampire.
Until the end of time.
Who will stop at nothing to possess.
You promised you would teach me everything.
His prey.
Read out with your senses.
Body. And soul.
Take him.
Now, to save her sister.
You're so cold. You're dead.
A woman will enter a world beyond her worst nightmare.
There is no love between the living and the dead.
Bloodlust, Subspecies 3.
Okay, so this film starts off right where part two ends, which I appreciate. You know, they filmed them back to back, so it makes sense. Everybody looks and acts the same. So if you're a fan of part two, then you should be a fan of part three. Brian Stewart, help us out.
So she has to use the fledgling's blood to restore Radu in some sort of ritual.
I curse you for your beauty. For the innocence of your flesh. For the power you hold over my child.
I curse you for having this power over my child. I don't know what it is, but my kid thinks you're the bee's knees, so I'm going to resurrect him and keep you alive only because Radu thinks that you're the shit. She could have easily killed her right there. She didn't.
She should have.
So she used her blood to revive him because she was stabbed by that magic... Or excuse me, he was stabbed by that magic dagger.
Her blood will give you life.
But I like how when Michelle wakes up from her slumber, Mummy's there laughing at her, and then just how she comes out of the frame, and then you can see Radu in the background kind of like looking at her like, you thought you were rid of me. No. Yeah. This is just beginning. I thought that was great. I did like that.
It has to be said that...
And then grabs her by the fucking face.
And that's the first time we see him all clean.
Yes, he's not, you know... He's got two phases. All clean, and then drooling black fucking shit all over the place, right?
Mummy's pretty spry for a dusty 3,000-year-old corpse.
What about Michelle?
Sorry, miss. No, sister. No, Radu. No little witches.
She's in there, somewhere. She has to be.
Please, miss, tell me again what's happening here. Who killed Popescu?
Rebecca, we want to believe you.
They're vampires, Mel. Vampires, Marin. Or something worse.
Hey, that's William Shatner's daughter. Show some fucking respect.
She's got the fucking acting chops of William Shatner as well, I can tell you.
Wow, I think
you... That's actually my biggest problem with this film, by the way.
It is
Becky.
She goes for a long time in this movie without pants.
Maureen, can I talk to you for a moment?
Yes. Excuse me, miss.
Becky has been in the catacombs with Radu and Mummy and Michelle. She's been in there. So she comes back with the police, and the police are in the catacombs going, oh, there's nobody here, but people have been long dead for centuries. Yeah. Like, couldn't she say, know they're in here. It was almost like she went back in and didn't know where she was.
They're not in the catacombs. They're in an underground mausoleum.
Yeah, but she was there. Okay. And she got out.
Catacombs is incorrect. That's an actual place. The catacombs is an actual place. They were in an underground tomb or cemetery.
They were in that small mausoleum behind the gate.
Yeah, but it's not catacomb. They
descended down. Becky had already been there. Yeah. When she was there, they're like, we can't find anything.
I don't know how they didn't see them.
How come she couldn't say, no, they're down here? She was already there. That's a problem I have with this.
How many places could there possibly be to look while you're down there? They didn't see the next room over?
Like, she didn't see them. She just heard her. Uh-huh. And she said, I heard her screaming.
Mortals have defiled my sanctuary. We must fly.
Mortals have defiled my sanctuary.
Andrew says it every time we come.
We must fly.
Right? That's how it went.
Whenever one of us walks into Helen's wine cellar, that's what we hear. You defile my
sanctuary. Then they do that ritual where they fly out of there into the castle. I love that ritual where they turn to smoke and get out. Everybody's called the bomb squad. What are you talking about? It's not a bomb. That's them leaving. I could hear her screaming in the mist.
Bomb squad, there's smoke.
Okay, there's definitely something weird going on here.
Some kind of explosion, yeah?
No, it was them leaving. I could hear Michelle screaming in there.
And mom's like, oh, this place has returned to us at last. She's freed from her prison.
Yeah.
She's got her son with her and his disciple. The castle is now theirs.
From this night forth, we shall be as one. All that is mine will be yours. Kneel before your master.
Kneel before your master, and she kneels. Kneel before Zod. Nefarious Paul V said that. Kneel before Zod. I thought that was great.
Tuck before Zod.
But yeah, and that was the same cage that Angus Scrim, as his father, Vladislas, put him in in Subspecies 1 when he was sitting on the throne, right?
Out of here.
I will let you out. I might even set you free. When you're ready.
You promised you would teach me everything.
Like right now? No. You don't know what this is all about. You're gonna be mine forever, and you still have ties to mortality. You're not ready. You can't drink from the bloodstone. I can't teach you how to fly. But I will teach you how to hunt. And once you get that down, once you kill and you accept your destiny, then we'll deal with being a vampire.
First, you must learn patience. We have all the time in the world.
My favorite moments of the film are anytime you see them, how do you call it, the transformation scenes where they're, it's the homage to Nosferatu. We see those elongated shadows along the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be anytime you see that. I thought the last film and this film, those are handled excellently.
The shadow work.
The stretched hands. And
it's very much Nosferatu.
I'm sorry.
My condolences, ma'am. He was a fine scholar and a delightful gentleman.
He was a crazy old fool.
such a stupid way to die!
She's crying.
What a stupid way to die.
Such a stupid little guy. I think it was a secretary. Oh, yeah, somebody that worked with the museum or whatever institution that he worked for. But such a stupid little guy.
No, it's such a stupid way to die.
No.
Such a fool, such a stupid way to die.
Oh, I thought she said it was a stupid little guy.
Stupid way to die.
Oh, I'm so, fuck, for all these years, I got it wrong.
Ma'am, last time we were here, I left some papers in his office. I was wondering.
Yes, go ahead. But please, don't disturb anything.
He grabbed the
halberd,
the legend, and then all
the two stakes
and the book,
the vampire, the vampire book,
which he did do nothing with as well.
No, that's where he reads the legend.
Oh, is that what he's reading in the hotel room?
That's foreplay. Remember in the he's reading.
Oh yeah, hard cat. Fucking cheap ass Courtney Cox there. Fucking budget Courtney Cox.
Well, he drops her off after the sister goes, right? He drops her off, and she's like, oh, I don't want to be alone tonight. It's like, green light for it. Why don't you come up and fuck?
And then you start hearing the bounce chicka wow wow, and then she starts thinking about being
He's laying in bed with her, being a gentleman, and he's reading from this book, trying to get down to the lore of the situation that they are in.
Oh, man, this is some wild stuff. According to this legend, the castle was originally owned by this family of sorcerers. Until this Vladislas guy came along and seduced the daughter, Circe. She gave birth to the monstrous Radu, and then apparently Vladislas murdered most of the family off, drove the rest of them from the region, and claimed the castle as his own.
This Vladislas sounds like a ruthless character.
No, apparently he was the good guy.
And she's like coming in for a kiss, so he acquiesces, right? Kisses, and then she flashes back to all the bullshit that she went through the last 24 hours. Oh no, I can't! And he's like, oh, I'm sorry too. This is my fault. This is fine. Everything's fine.
He never said it was his fault.
He was ahead of the curve on being automatically wrong.
I'm certain after they yelled cut, he had to go to the. You know,
oh, he had to go.
I gotta take care of something and go to the John for about 60 seconds.
Yeah. All because of dime store Courtney Cox.
Empty graves, missing persons, that Popescu, this case making me crazy.
Have you gotten into the castle yet, Lieutenant?
No, it's no one to open gate. Now we need written permission to enter.
Permission?
Yeah.
From whom?
Oh, Director of Antiquities.
How long is that gonna take?
2 weeks, maybe 2 months.
And the whole film is Becky and Mel trying to get Michelle out of that fold. They can't get into the castle because the back door entrance has been collapsed. They can't get in.
And the wooden gate is impenetrable.
Uh-huh. My friends. What's happening?
This is Popescu's secret way in.
It's not enough I am in big trouble, eh? You want me to be fired too?
It's not enough I am in big trouble, huh? You want me to be fired too?
You must have heard that a thousand times in the last 20 years, this movie.
Now we don't blame.
What is it?
Reach out with your senses. The violinist is a disgrace.
Teach me to fly, as you do.
Patience, pretty one. For the mysteries you must learn to survive, to hunt, to move with stealth.
So then he showed her how to move, like from without moving, just appear. What
showed her how to fly.
Yeah, not really fly.
Oh yeah.
Stay here and go there. She's
teleportation.
Okay, sure.
Vampirical teleportation.
So then that's when they went to the bar.
Mm-hmm.
She managed to lure him out of that crowded place pretty easily.
Yeah. Like, all she had to do was look at him.
I liked that scene, the fact that everybody stopped what they were doing, except for the band.
Yeah.
Everybody stopped what they were doing, except for the three members of the band, and then the violinist.
And the violinist noticed that she was honing in on him, so... But then he goes out, and she starts pulling the vampire disappearing trick. He doesn't think that's odd? No, he's still pursuing her.
Transfixed.
Yeah, yeah. So she already had the transfixable, trait going on. And then he closes in, and she wants to feed. And just as the car's coming up, Radu's there. He's like, fucking take him, man. Take him right now.
Take him.
She hesitates, and then he takes him. He's like, okay, you ain't getting out of this. This is an exercise. She fails, you die. And then the girl gets out of the car.
The single worst character in the entire film. She does nothing but whimper.
Throwaway character. Throwaway character. They should have just killed her right there. But no, they brought her back to the cage with Mel.
For what reason? No reason.
Maybe he needed company.
And mommy's toy. To be mommy's toy.
That's right.
She was there first.
Go now. The sun is gone.
Wait. I want to see the dawn.
We will wait until the pain begins.
I will say that's my favorite part of the movie.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, is that yours too?
You know what?
You go first, Helen.
You know why it's your favorite? It's the most romantic part of the film.
No, it's not that.
Yes, it is.
It's not even that.
Okay,
go ahead, Brian.
The reason I liked it, and you may like it for the same reason, he delivers one word so well that it gave more depth to that character than all the speeches he's ever given. When she's asking him real questions, difficult questions, and he answers truthfully and honestly, when she says, "Will sunlight kill us?" he pauses for a moment before he says, "Yes." And he does it in such a way that he makes you think he's thought about it. Mm-hmm. He's thought about killing himself by sunlight. I swear he's contemplated it from that answer. That he is, you know, he at some point thought this is a terrible existence. And I believe that.
Nude, why is that your favorite?
The exact same reason.
Oh, really?
Sorry.
The exact same reason. And because of the fact that I think that it's gone through his head. Because after Mel was reading that excerpt from the book, it gave birth to that...
Monstrous Radu.
So obviously he was... just rejected from day one type of thing. So he obviously had led, I mean, besides being a vampire, but led a horrible, you know, existence, you know. And then is that the only thing she says among other things? There are other things, you know what I mean? And she begs for him to kill because she obviously sees what this guy's gone through. I mean, he's a horrible specimen. He had felt the pain that she's currently starting to feel.
It's some of the most interesting writing, I think, of the whole series. In fact, it's probably more interesting than anything I heard in part two.
That
conversation is amazing.
Yeah.
Kill me, Radu. You've destroyed me.
Someday, this sadness you feel will be a sweet memory.
I can't deal with this existence. I want you to kill me. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to plead with her, like, listen, it's going to be okay. You know, once you get over being human, it will be okay. It's not going to be that bad. You will live forever, and I will take care of you.
I love you, Michel. I shall love you until the end of time.
This master allows her to feed from his own neck. That's the most precious thing that he could ever offer her. She feeds off of him, and right after taking that gift, curses him. I will fucking hate you forever.
We must go now. Our powers are weakened with the light.
Up until then, we like how villainous he is. He's a fun villain because he revels in it so much. He just enjoys being evil. He enjoys the suffering of others, and he does it well. But this is the first time they kind of make him more than just a one-dimensional villain. We see that there's a little bit of layering there, that he lets his guard down just for a moment. We see there's more ticking there.
Oh, he's let his guard, because of Michelle, he's let his guard down several times to his detriment.
Yeah.
He should have killed her weeks ago.
Sorry.
Hey, bud. Jesus, Bob. Hey, Marine, it's okay. He's a friend. Everybody cool here?
Yeah.
Bob, this is Rebecca. Rebecca, this is my friend Bob.
Hi, Bob. Nice to meet you.
Ma'am.
And, Lieutenant Marine, Bucharest Police.
I know. Sir.
Hello, CIA, Bob, eh? I thought you were a smuggler at first.
No, sir.
Okay.
What's the target here?
We gotta get inside. You think we can make it up this wall?
Give it a shot.
Let's talk about the CIA Bob. Like, oh my God, CIA Bob.
So, really, his only purpose in this movie was to bring rope. That was it. That was literally, like, anyone else could have done that.
Okay, well, Mal calls the guy. He's like, you're going to love this guy. He's CIA. He's a friend of mine.
He doesn't look like CIA.
And this isn't the only film that does this, so whatever, whatever. But I hate the idea that somebody might know somebody who happens to be CIA.
Because they're that sloppy.
What? It's the fucking Central Intelligence Agency. You're not supposed to know these people.
You got the stuff?
Weird shopping list, buddy. What are we? Vampire hunting. It's your show, man. I'm just doing a cameo.
But this guy looked like he just waltzed out of a Bruno Mattei film. He shows up. Okay.
Armed to the teeth with shitty ass weaponry.
He shows up with an MP40. Yeah. He's holding an MP40. That's what the Germans were using in 1940. It's a German early World War II machine gun.
You're gonna love this. Silver bullets melted down from my neighbor's antique crucifix. Yo, we're $500, pal.
$500?
She started out asking $750.
He made silver bullets out of the silver that he got from his neighbor's crucifix.
Yes.
He smelted silver? This is what they're implying? Because you can't just take a lighter and fucking melt down silver.
No, you need to bring it to like 3,000 degrees.
Yes. Yes. This is what this guy did.
Yes.
He's using 40, at this time, 40-year-old fucking weaponry.
We were all fucking... Because they go in, right? They climb the... He climbs the wall, drops the rope, allows Mel to climb the wall, and he's like, okay, we're in, we're going radio dark. And she's like, wait, no, the witch doesn't fucking sleep during the day. And it's like, maybe this is a conversation you should have had before you scaled the wall, man. No. Maybe you should have had this conversation before you scaled the wall.
How does she know that? Because it's never established before.
Hands up, Granny!
Yeah, and Mummy's pretty scary. She has telekinesis, apparently. Kills somebody in a phantasm fashion.
Oh.
Yeah, so CIA Bob doesn't last very long.
CIA Bob. Okay, so they get into the castle, and Mummy is tormenting one of the captors in the cage. Hold it, Granny! And she's like, nah, okay. Holds out the dagger in her hand. He shoots her with the automatic weapon. The bullets are... This weapon is no... It reminds me of Baldur's Gate. Remember Baldur's Gate 2?
Yes.
This weapon has no effect! Shooting this lady, nothing happens, and her fucking dagger flies out of her hand. She doesn't even throw it. It just levitates out of her hand, flies across the room, and impales him in the forehead. Bob's gone. And then Mel tries to shoot her, and she just kind of runs up to him. Ah, you're my prisoner. Fuck you. So now Mel's in the cage.
The throne is mine. Give it to me at once.
No.
You defy me.
It belongs to the fledgling mother. I bestowed it upon her.
I have a question for you then.
Go ahead.
Does he give his fledgling his own mother's jewelry to provoke that fight?
I don't think so. I think
he didn't think his mother would get pissed off seeing her finery on another.
And now we're walking into my favorite scene.
Ah, okay.
You are forbidden my spoils.
holy treasures are my birthright. They are mine alone. Anger me not, mother. She must.
Goes to lunge at her with the dagger, grabs her arm, rips it off. Brian Stewart.
I like how dusty the detachment was. Like, she doesn't even have any blood left in her. Everything that happens to her is like this dust, a smoke, a cloud of dust coming off of her.
Forgive me, mother.
Puts her up against the cage and tears off her fucking head with the dagger that she was holding with her own fucking hand. Decapitates her with the knife in her own fucking severed arm.
You dare to desecrate me.
And she's like, you dare to desecrate me? And I like how he takes her fucking severed head and sticks it in Michelle's face. She's like, look. Look at this right here.
The head is still yammering on.
Yep. You dare to desecrate me, throws it in the fire, and I curse you forever, she says. I curse you forever.
Curse you forever.
Miss Morgan. U.S. Embassy. I'm a friend of Rebecca's. I would very much like to help you. I know Rebecca would too. Oh!
This immortal has seen too much.
Please, sir.
Feast upon him, Michelle.
No.
See the fear? Pulsing in his veins. Drink.
No, please.
Savor the sweetness of his agony.
You know, let's kill these people, and then you will be one of us. You know, that's all there is to it.
Drink, Michelle. Forget you are ever more so.
No, please.
No!
Michelle, can you hear me?
Rebecca!
And then Becky's downstairs with the walkie-talkie. Michelle, are you there? And they all hear this voice coming from nowhere, and it breaks the spell. She was almost there, but hearing her sister's voice broke that spell. And he's looking around like, where the fuck is that coming from?
This mortal love you bear is a threat to our existence.
Please, Radu, I have to speak to her. I'll come back. I promise. I'll do anything. Spare her life.
Very well. Your sister's alive in return for your absolute devotion.
And once again, this was the problem that I had in part two. It's the problem I have in part three. It's like, oh, please let her live. I'll do anything. Like, how many times has Radu heard this fucking story? You know, how many times has he heard the story and he's like, yeah, okay, sure, I gotta talk to her. It's like, you know what, either deal with your fucking sister or I'm gonna kill her and her friend and that's the end of it, you know?
You have to go now, Becky. Not without you, please. Or he'll destroy you too. What about my friend? He's Randy's prisoner. Please, please take me to him.
Such a sweet reunion.
Marin?
He's dead.
His gun is loaded with silver bullets. And I will use it if I have to. I want you to release my friends and then Michelle and I are leaving, and you better not try and stop us. Do you understand?
perfectly.
So Radu's gonna play off like, oh, you've got leverage over me with this fucking gun?
I didn't understand that. I didn't understand what that was.
He brought her into the castle.
But I didn't understand for what purpose, for what end.
Because the only thing I can explain is that he wanted to watch his fletchling kill her sister and her friends. That's the only thing I can think of, is that he was going to solidify his relationship with Michelle by getting her to kill her sister and everybody else that was there.
It's not really
it didn't work.
Michelle, don't!
No, Michelle. You're mine.
And she grabs the gun from Becky. He's like, puts it to her own head. And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. You're mine. You can't do this. And then starts fucking putting 18 bullets into him. There's only supposed to be six, right? It's only supposed to be six bullets in there.
Six in each gun.
Puts 18. Yeah. I like the one shot, though.
Explicitly say six bullets in each gun.
Six bullets each. I like how he puts his hand up and she shoots his hand and he... You can see the bullet go through his hand, and he moves his hand, and you see the bullet went through and hit him in the head.
In the forehead, yeah.
And then he falls, right? And everybody's like, okay, we gotta go. Sunrise is coming up, right? They're going down the battlements. It's Mel, that nameless chick with the white miniskirt that's got nothing to do with the story, and Michelle and Becky. And Michelle's like, oh my god, the dawn, I can't go. Okay, well,
he just happens to be carrying the
CIA
body bag.
Bob's got that body bag.
He just happens to be carrying it on him.
Well, no, I mean, Bob had it.
No, Becky gathered everything and put them in the one bag. She
did she? Okay.
Yeah, when they went up there, because her and Marin gathered everything in, before they were going to go up to the. Because
that just seemed very much like an happy moment.
Yeah.
You know.
No, they actually gathered everything up.
Put Michelle in that opaque body bag so that they can carry her out in the sunlight.
The bloodstone gave it to me. Give it to me and I shall set you free.
You want it?
Go for it!
He's hit by the sun directly, and he starts fucking turning into a black mass of shit. And then Brian Stewart was like, oh, we thought he drooled a lot before. Check him out now.
Pretty
gory. I like that.
And then he caught fire.
Well, yeah, and then he caught fire, and whoever the stuntman was for that was excellent. Fell over the edge of the castle, and then gets impaled on this dead fucking tree. Goes through his face, through his hand. And he's burnt to a fucking crisp.
His leg broke. You can see it's just
swelling. Oh, yeah. Broke. He was fucked up. And you know what? And I'm watching this film in 1993 going, what the fuck? How is he going to come back? He must be dead. Like, he's in the middle of the sunlight. He's burnt to a fucking crisp. How is this fucking guy going to come back? Pieces of him fall to the ground and then turn into the subspecies, right? And that's all you need. The subspecies are going to help this guy resurrect again. Like they did at the beginning of part two. Brian Stewart, your thoughts.
They killed Popescu in part two. They killed Mirren in part three. What comic relief old guys is there left to kill in part four?
Good stuff. There's a lot of things to like about this film.
There's very good moments in this.
I think you're automatically assuming that because we said we like it lesser than two, that we all disliked it.
No.
Which isn't the case.
No. I understand that you like this a little bit less than part two, but it's not a fail.
No, it's not a fail.
Someday, child, when Radu tires of you, you belong to me. Then you'll know horror.
Paul B., I want you to score this film.
again, not I legitimately do not remember what I gave the last film, so I'm going based on how I feel right now. Seven
on this?
Yeah,
I will accept that.
I don't enjoy it as much as I did the last film. It's not nearly as well put together. The acting is far, far worse. The police captain is terrible in this. I don't know why they decided to change everything about him from that to this. CIA Bob was awful, completely useless. Makeup effects were great. Radu was creepy as fuck. Mummy is creepy as fuck. Really creepy. Like, uncomfortably creepy at certain points. That makeup effect is... The way they made her up is excellent. Like, there are scenes where she raises her hand to her face and there's just no fat on her at all. It's just like cellophane put over bones. I mean, it just looks like it's all... It looks dry, but at the same time it's very wet.
And wrinkly.
Just looks awful. So that's really good. She's blind in one eye and she's got the golden look in the other eye. It's really weird and really creepy looking.
Sever the ties to your mortality, Michelle. All your pain will turn to pleasure.
Nude score, please.
I also don't remember my score from the last one. And at the beginning, after watching this movie, I had said I like this a little bit less than the first one. I don't think I like it less. I think I like it just as much. Just after we're reminiscing of all the parts and some of the parts that I thought, oh yeah, that was kind of cool. Especially our favorite scene, Brian, that was actually quite cool. But I like it just as much. And I think we get more of the... I like the back and forth between Michelle and Radu. I like that she's now... I don't think she's accepting, but she's fearful of what her... future is with this, and that's why she keeps begging to be killed. She keeps asking those questions about the mortality of it, or immortality. She's begging for someone to kill her, and then she tells him she hates him for basically what he's done to her.
It's powerful.
So I'm giving it a 7.5. I don't remember what I gave it gave the first film, but I like this just as much.
What's she saying?
That we shouldn't have gone to the castle. That we reawakened something. Strigoi.
Vampires.
Brian Stewart?
Didn't like it quite as much as Helen. I'm going to give it Paul 7. I think I gave the original an 8, and I like the atmosphere of the first one better. Not as much atmosphere in this one. Not as much shadow play. It's there, but it's not to the extent of the first one. I thought the first one was way moodier. We got more shots of downtown, was it Budapest?
Yes.
And I like the downtown city stuff going through the nightclubs. You don't get quite as much of that in this. I don't know if the budget wasn't there, so they couldn't get the permits for the location shooting in the downtown area, but the first one had more of it. And I kind of like being stalked through the city. There's not a whole lot of stalking element in this one, which was a lot of my enjoyment of the first.
No, because the positions are reversed. Now it's the human stalking them.
But it just, and a lot of it feels like padding. Half the film is trying to get to a castle that should not have been that difficult to get into. I hate to say it. They already knew the back way in, and if not, there's a gate. We've seen the gate in the second movie. How hard is it to get through a crumbly, old, decrepit wooden gate? Right? Like, that was the whole thing stopping them for half the film. So it just felt like padding for the first half. But I will say this, the Helen and I's favorite scene, that conversation, is my favorite scene of both films. My favorite scene is in the third movie. And it's that conversation was more interesting to me than anything's happened in the whole 3-hour stretch. What a great conversation. Because at long last, this one-dimensional villain who is just there wringing his hands in pure evil actually gets some depth to his character. We get some sense that he has contemplated his own death, that he has more of a tortured soul than we were led to believe, because he's probably been lying to himself all this time, right? Because that one conversation gave more depth to his character, I think the movie probably would have fared worse for a score for me, but it's back-ended. The second half of the movie is way better than the first, I think. That's where all the fun scenes are, right? But no, I'm glad I watched it. It's an enjoyable watch. It's not perfect, but it's fun, and I like the setting. I like seeing these European settings. It's not your typical vampire movie. Like we see Anne Rice movies or anything else, it's usually set in London or it's set in New York. It's kind of nice to get out into the countryside again to see a monster movie. So, yeah, it's a solid 7.
She is the cause of your treachery. Destroy her!
She is my chosen disciple.
I will probably give this an 8. I've seen this many times. Most of the times was like a long time ago. I mean, like this was high school days watching part 2 and part 3. Ted Niccolo filmed these two films back to back, right? Cut it. Okay, we're going to continue shooting. So 2 and 3 were back to back. It was basically the same project. The whole relationship between Michelle and Radu advanced a little bit, and I get what you're saying, Brian. It was like, okay, the vampires were pursuing humans, but in this one it was the humans pursuing the vampires. They had made their escape to the castle. Now Michelle was like, okay, figuring out how to be a vampire, while Becky was trying to get in that castle to get her the fuck out of there before the time was running out, right? The time was running out. I thought him killing his mom because she was trying to kill his fledgling that he had fallen in love with was solid. That was solid shit.
What? Oh my god.
How drunk are you?
Okay, how much about? Oh.
I'm gonna move that over here. You're cut off.
Cut off from your own house.
Oh my god.
We took in his
own. Alan's like, oh my god, my husband likes booze.
We got the scraps of Andrew's plate. That's it.
You guys would take solace in knowing that I don't put the show together.
I can't inebriate. I can't do that at your own house.
Solace?
Have some crackers.
Yes, have some bread.
Oh, I have it all. Don't I? Pretty one.
My friends, that is the end of our 125th podcast, Bloodlust, Subspecies 3, directed by Ted Niccolo, starring Denise Duff, Anis Hove, Kevin Spiritas, and Melanie Shatner. This will probably be the last time we visit the Subspecies franchise in this show, but I will make this decree. If Subspecies 5 proves to be an epic final entry in the series, we will cover Vampire Journals, Subspecies 4, and then 5 in a Horror 101 trilogy of shows. It must be, in our opinion, as good as From Dusk Till Dawn 3 or better. That's big shoes to fill. We will remain hopeful and see how it goes. We hope you enjoyed this Horror 101 treatment of another Full Moon gem. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the nefarious Paul B., and my wife, the lovely nude. This is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you, and we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, educating your fears. I've seen this movie 18 times. I thought it's such a stupid little guy, but it's Dire Straits, right, Pants? Whatever.
What did you get wrong in that song?
What was it? I thought he said, we gotta move these refrigerators. We gotta move these color TVs. No,
I said that.
Yeah, no. I thought,
I corrected
we
you
got some that. Movies, color TVs.
And you're arguing with me. I'm like, no, we've got to move these color TVs. No, it's movies. I'm like, no, it's not.
I thought it was, we got some movies, comma, color TVs.
You're like the retarded weirdo.
Fuck you, homie.